from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To get this show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. You can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya or Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. When you're driving to work, from work, or around town, all you have to do is tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball, and we'll be right there with you for the drive. If your company wants to reach an upscale male audience, then your company's ad should be running right here on this podcast. To get your company connected with this audience, email locked@lockedonpodcasts.com to get more details about increasing your business. Coming up on today's show, we are going to talk about the Giants' insane doubleheader yesterday in Colorado, winning the first game 19-2 and then winning the second game 2-1. Just an unbelievable day for the San Francisco Giants, who find themselves continuing to play like one of the best teams in baseball right now. And we're going to have all kinds of crazy numbers to discuss and basically just talk about their status as sellers, despite the fact that they've been winning a ton and just crushing people and putting up record-breaking offensive numbers lately. So just, you know, big picture stuff, focusing on the game, just a lot to talk about on today's show, so we'll jump right into it. With the 19-2 win coupled with the 2-1 win, the Giants improved their run differential by 18 runs. They improved overall to 45-49 on the season. They're still 17 back in the West, unbelievably, and yet they're only 3 games back in the wild card. Their run differential is now just minus 45, and that has an expected win-loss record of 43-51, so they are still outperforming it by a couple of wins. They're 25-23 on the road. They're close now to matching their road win totals from 2018 and 2017. So just playing extremely well on the road right now. They were 22-34 on May 31st. So since June 1st, they've gone 23-15 with a plus 44 run differential. But that doesn't quite tell the whole story, because the day before Alex Dickerson arrived on June 21st, the Giants were 31-42 with a minus 98 run differential. So they were actually negative in the run differential department from June 1st through June 20th. By 9 runs. So since Alex Dickerson arrived on June 21st, they're 14-7 with a plus 53 run differential. Outscoring opponents by 53 runs in less than a month. That's a really good month. And so the numbers are staggering. I'm not saying that it's all Alex Dickerson, but to me, when he arrived, it just kind of completed the roster in a sense. And we say this like every single show, but not in the sense that they're done, they're a complete team, okay, you know, mail it in, time to book your postseason tickets for the next 5 years, but in the sense that they have a complete roster given the limitations that they have. They have platoons where they need platoons. They have bench options where they need bench options. They've been relatively healthy, except for this new injury to Evan Longoria. But with Dickerson, they got a guy in left who could be an answer. You know, for a long time, they were running out. They tried Tyler Austin in left, even against righties. And that, you know, was never destined to be a great idea, because his specialty is doing well against left-handed pitching. And so that's exactly the type of situation I'm talking about, where Dickerson comes in and then you don't have to overextend Tyler Austin in that way. And you can choose to only use him, or primarily use him, against his greatest strength, which is against left-handed pitching. So all of a sudden, you're only seeing Tyler Austin when he gets this big favorable matchup. And all of a sudden, you're only seeing Alex Dickerson in favorable situations. Mike Yastrzemski, Austin Slater, I think that was another big component as well. And then Steven Duggar was really struggling for much of the season, but his injury coincided with Pilar getting really hot. And so that kind of solved itself, and Pilar whether or not his defense is better or worse in center than Duggar stopped becoming an issue because the bat was just so much more potent than what we were seeing from Duggar. And, you know, this coincided as well with Donovan Solano doing well against lefties filling in for Crawford or Panic. When Crawford and Panic are in the lineup every single time against left-handed pitching, it hurts the team significantly, but Solano has stepped in, and like I said, it just the puzzle was kind of complete in a way. Again, not saying these are the players that make them the best team possible, but for what they have all of the pieces, if that makes any sense. I think there are definitely positions they could still afford to upgrade. I'm not convinced that Austin Slater is going to be able to keep this up. There's all kinds of crazy, they're not luck indicators, but they're sustainability indicators that are not sustainable, but that's to be expected with such a small sample. But and then Mike Yastrzemski, he had a good game in Colorado, especially the first game. But at the same time, it's definitely a position where I think they could afford to upgrade down the line. But it, to me, looks like Alex Dickerson is a legitimate left-handed left fielder capable of doing very well against right-handed pitching. He just continued. He missed a couple games with the back injury. But then in game one of the doubleheader, just a ho-hum 3-for-5 with a walk. He also had two doubles. The Giants got to Germán Márquez for 11 earned runs in 2 2/3 innings. That's the most, something like the first time they've ever put 11 earned runs on a starting pitcher, or it's been since like the 40s or since they moved to San Francisco. There's all kinds of crazy numbers. I didn't find these myself and I didn't like write them down, but I'm going to try to remember some of them. I believe that in an 11 game stretch, this is the most runs the Giants have ever scored in their history, at least since moving to San Francisco. They're just doing all kinds of crazy things right now on offense. Since June 1st, their non-pitchers have been above average. They have a 104 weighted runs created plus, meaning they've been, in theory, about 4% above average offensively. And again, non-pitchers. I see it all the time where we want to talk about offensive numbers and we are including pitchers. I think that's a huge mistake, especially when you are including American League teams in your calculation there. You can't compare them to an American League team if you're counting the pitchers. It just, of course you can't. And if you want to talk about how the Giants' offense is functioning, don't include the pitchers. I mean, it just is going to drag everything significantly down, and it's not really fair. So again, they're hitting .263, .327 on base, .459 slugging since June 1st, non-pitchers. But since June 21st, which again is the day Alex Dickerson arrived, Giants' non-pitchers are hitting .279 with a .345 on base and a .515 slugging. That's been 22% above average offensively. They're also first in the National League in Fangraphs WAR during that stretch by a huge margin. They're leading all of baseball in isolated power during that stretch at .236. That's the difference between the slugging and the average, and it's a very good indicator of power. They're at .236. The next closest team is the Braves at .220. Giants non-pitchers have hit 34 home runs since June 21st. It's second most in MLB, behind only the Braves, who have one more homer. The Giants are tied with the Dodgers during that stretch. They're also first in MLB with 133 runs since June 21st. So these numbers are just ridiculous. And specifically looking at the outfield, the Giants' outfield has been 31% above average offensively since Dickerson arrived, hitting .277 with a .336 on base, a .569 slugging. That's a .292 isolated power, which is best in MLB, ahead of the Yankees, who are in second, but 32 points lower than the Giants. I mean, man, talk about things you did not expect to be saying earlier in the season when their outfield, you know, was among the worst in baseball. But right now, their outfield is performing like the best outfield in MLB. Do I think they're the best outfield in MLB? No. But do I think Alex Dickerson is legit? Yes. Do I think Kevin Pillar is quality enough to be a major leaguer? Yes. Definitely streaky, but when he hits for power and he can carry you for a month. And then, of course, you have some intrigue in Austin Slater, and then Mike Yastrzemski has shown us some things, continued to hit for some power, hit a big home run in game one. And then Tyler Austin is a total threat. We saw him hit a bomb off of Josh Hader in a key situation. So if you use them in the right situations, the, you know, everything is working. And it's been a long time since the Giants have had a formula that is successful and that they've been able to get those favorable matchups on a consistent basis. In fact, they've never really operated that way because when they were good, the difference was nobody in baseball really operated that way. So the Giants were able to get away with just having their set lineup kind of regardless of whether it was a lefty or a righty. But the game changed, and for a few years there, it looked like the Giants were playing a different game than everybody else, and not in a good way. Other teams would just come in and have their way with the Giants. They would get all these platoon advantages, etc., get good matchups in the bullpen, whatever the case may be. Other teams were doing this to the Giants for years, but finally the Giants are on par and they have answers for what teams are trying to do to them. So there's so much more to talk about. We're just going to continue this conversation in the second half of the show. Talk a little bit about Farhan Zaidi and how he deserves credit for this formula. Not necessarily a complete picture, but the formula is just so much better. And we're going to talk about that. Talk about the pitching, which has also been really good. I am doing a disservice by not yet mentioning Jeff Samardzija and Derek Rodriguez, who pitched extremely well. Samardzija gave up a couple homers, but still just two runs at Coors Field. So lots to talk about in the second half. So that's all coming up next. Okay, so as promised, we're going to continue to talk about the Giants' unbelievable stretch right now. The ramifications, does this make them not so much necessarily sellers right now? Talk about the pitching as well and Farhan Zaidi and why he deserves some credit here. So this came as a surprise to me. I know, obviously, that they've been hitting well, but did not totally realize that they've been much improved as a total overall pitching unit, even as far back as June 1st. They've been middle of the pack overall since June 1st in terms of Fangraphs WAR for their pitchers. 4.01 ERA, peripherals more or less to match. Starting pitching-wise, they are more towards the bottom since June 1st. But the bullpen has remained strong, among the best in the National League during that stretch. But since June 21st, again, Dickerson Day, as it will forever be known, overall, the Giants' pitchers are second in the National League in Fangraphs WAR. They have a 3.60 ERA, 3.33 fielding independent pitching, 3.85 expected fielding independent pitching. So they've been much better for almost a month now, which I didn't necessarily know was the case. I mean, it makes sense. They're not getting beat right now. They're just beating other people, but their pitching has been really solid for almost a month. Their starting pitching ranks second in the National League in Fangraphs WAR during that stretch. 3.67 ERA, 3.44 fielding independent pitching, xFIP around 4. But still, strikeouts are up, not walking people, home runs are at a very reasonable 0.94 per 9. They're one of just 3 teams in MLB with a home runs per 9 under 1 since June 21st. And since June 21st, their bullpen has been the best in the National League by Fangraphs WAR, 3.50 ERA, peripherals more or less to match. Not allowing homers at all, getting a lot of strikeouts. So the pitching has been really solid and the hitting has been phenomenal, as we just described. So I want to give a little bit of credit to Jeff Samardzija for his outing yesterday. I still think there's a lot of luck going on with his success. But I mean, man, he was impressive yesterday. He was throwing, you know, 94 consistently. His cutter was good, really good yesterday. He's been quite good over his last few starts. I'm still concerned about the peripherals that do continue to suggest that he should be up around in the mid-4s with the ERA. But, you know, these 3 games were huge, and so good for him. And we'll see if he can continue to beat those peripherals. If he can continue to pitch like he did yesterday, there was no problem with the peripherals yesterday with all the strikeouts. Although, of course, the 2 home runs are counted as peripherals in this regard, but the last 3 starts have really been excellent. Derek Rodriguez also showed up and threw 5 innings, allowing just 1 run, 0 walks, 6 strikeouts, no home runs in Coors Field. So just a great job by him, filling in when they needed him to. Definitely a strong showing by Derek Rodriguez, so good to see that as well. Sam Dyson had a very nice rebound after a rough outing in Milwaukee. Yesterday, he went 1 inning and struck out all 3 batters he faced. Will Smith also had an impressive save in the 9th, holding on to the 1-run lead. It's not often you see a 2-1 game going into the 9th at Coors Field. He allowed a leadoff walk, but then through the heart of the order, he was able to escape further damage. Brandon Crawford made a nice defensive play to get an out on a ground ball by Nolan Arenado. So just a gutty save by Will Smith with a one-run lead in Coors Field. Not easy to do. Just lastly, Farhan Zaidi and then their status as sellers slash buyers. I just think he deserves a lot of credit for having a bunch of players who are contributing. I think Steven Vogt has been a great addition. He's a dangerous left-handed option, and he's been very good. Tyler Austin against lefties. Alex Dickerson has been one of the pickups of the year so far in baseball. I mean, if he can keep this up, then it's looking like a total steal of a trade right there. Kevin Pillar has been quite good lately. Donovan Solano has contributed. So just the Giants are getting a lot of contributions from guys who Farhan Zaidi brought in specifically. They also have much improved depth in the minor leagues. So for all the criticism he took for like not signing someone like Adam Jones, I think that that would have been definitely the wrong direction to go with this team. And quietly here, he has done a tremendous job so far in just a brief period of time. Other factor, want to talk about it more at some point, but the Giants are not hitting so many ground balls. Pretty much all of the players they've targeted and acquired have been guys with above average ground ball to fly ball ratios. And by above average, I actually mean lower than average. Like they're hitting less ground balls per fly ball than average. And so pretty much every guy who Farhan Zaidi has brought in, whether it's Steven Vogt, Alex Dickerson, Mike Yastrzemski, Donovan Solano, they're not just hitting a ton of grounders, which is something that the Giants have done a lot of in the last few seasons. Just take a look at, you know, the at-bats by Vogt and Dickerson and Yastrzemski. Not a lot of rolling over. We saw that a lot from players the Giants had acquired in years past, but very differently, these guys elevate the ball. They put it in the air. When you hit the ball in the air, you have a chance for extra base hits, homers, doubles, triples. If you hit the ball on the ground a lot, even if it gets through, you're just getting a single. So that's a huge factor that people don't really talk about enough. It's not just about launch angle. You're not just trying to, you know, dip your shoulder and hit pop-ups. It's about if you're going to hit the ball hard, it's good to hit the ball in the air as opposed to on the ground. So lastly, their status as sellers or buyers. There's no chance they're going to sell top prospects for short-term assets like rental players. But there is a chance, just like they added Tyler Austin, Kevin Pillar, Alex Dickerson, they just could continue to add to the major league roster potentially, as long as it's not giving up top prospects for shorter term assets. I think they'd be interested in buying longer term assets potentially, but they're not going to sell the farm for 2019. That being said, at this point in time, I still do think that Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith are likely to be dealt. You know, a lot may depend on how they play for the next 2 weeks. They obviously, this is a tough level to keep up. So, you know, if they lose 8 out of 10, then this decision could be simple. But for now, I think at the very least, someone like Will Smith probably will be dealt because the Giants have the depth to be able to overcome the loss of Smith, and they could satisfy another area where they don't have as great of depth in a trade for Smith. Anyway, that is all the time we have. We will be back with another episode tomorrow talking about tonight's game 3 against the Rockies. Drew Pomeranz on the mound for the Giants. Right-handed pitcher Peter Lambert on the mound for the Rockies. So we'll see all the lefties in there again. Remember, to get this show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. You can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya or Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow. And until then, we'll see you next time.